justice.
Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130.
You know what? That's why he's lawyer extraordinaire.
0.5 of him. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Good morning.
Good morning.
Making Star Wars comparisons. I can dig it.
Bearing gifts. Thank you so much. A beautiful 4-pack of Bent Brewstillery American Guardian beer. Premium American lager.
I figured if you represent 50 craft breweries, we're here to talk about the confirmation of now Justice Kavanaugh.
I better bring some
beer.
That's right.
I love it.
It was it was funny over the weekend because it's for a lot of different reasons, but Kavanaugh was confirmed, and many people, appropriately so, were tweeting out, memes of drinking a beer or people drinking a beer, and it was hysterical to watch the reaction. It's not appropriate, guys. It's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. I know you're trying to be funny, but that's not appropriate at this time. The frat boys and Devil's Triangle. Just losing their minds.
Yeah, I heard so many, people fanning themselves over. They're just rubbing it in now. They're rubbing this. It's like, you guys have been so unhinged. You accuse this man of leading gang rape trains.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about rubbing it in.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to put out of my mind most of the nonsense that we've all been through for the past 6 weeks, and certainly the past 2 weeks. But we have reached a new level now. And any time we mention at the start of the show, every time there is some controversial issue, you see the reaction keeps getting ratcheted up and ratcheted up and ratcheted up. And I do wonder, much like our previous guest just a moment ago, Andrew Langer. And Sam, we were talking about it before we got on the air today with Sam. It's like, what does the day after the midterms look like in America if...
When?
When the Democrats don't win.
They get their little blue tier. their blue tiers.
What does that end up, looking like? What is that commentary like, What is that? I mean, thankfully, telling this to Sam, it's different than a Kavanaugh confirmation, because a Kavanaugh confirmation, you can get everybody congregated in one particular spot, and everybody can zero in at one particular place. With the midterms, you don't have a central location that people can kind of rally to and destroy if they want to, but they can certainly do that after Election Day in their own hometowns, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be rioting here? People going to take to the streets if Keith Ellison doesn't win? Or when Keith Ellison doesn't win?
I certainly hope not. I have a hard time picturing that.
Well, if Jeff Johnson were to win, I could see him congregating at the state capitol.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Interesting reaction over the weekend with Jeff Johnson. There was a lengthy piece, and I'm assuming they'll put out a profile one about Tim Walz as well. But a lot of people looking to a piece in the Star Tribune that was a lengthy piece about Jeff Johnson and pointing to that article. And one, it's a really good piece. I read the whole thing talking about his background. I learned a lot about Jeff that I was unaware of. But some people are looking at that going, he may win this thing.
This idea that Tim Walz is going to run away with this election is an absolute joke. These elections, and not just the governor's one, but all of the, I think, statewide elections are going to be far closer. And I would even include the Klobuchar-Neuberger race in this. Are going to be far closer than people expect or people are used to on this state. I was talking to some people that, we've seen the public polling. Public polling tends to be a little skewed, but there's a lot of internal polling that has not been released that shows all of these races are very tight.
Yeah, I think I've seen people commenting about that, about how some of the Democrats' internal polls are not looking good.
They're not looking
for some
good
of the
all.
Candidates. And, it's a changing time in this state. I mean, historically, the Democrats had the Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Iron Range. I'm seeing post after post of the Republican ticket, the entire ticket, up in the campaigning all day this weekend on Saturday in the Iron Range.
Yeah.
The Iron Range, they like the president's policies. He carried the 8th district, and that seat's open, and they're Pete Stauber is running a great campaign. It's going to be interesting. This is kind of the wild card in the race, is how much of the range will go Republican. I mean, if the Republicans, can lock in the Iron Range for elections to come, the Democrats could be in real trouble in this state.
Well, and here's here's part of this discussion. I know we're going to get into Kavanaugh, and we can roll it into that. And Jeff O'Brien's going to be with us for a good chunk of time this morning. But the one thing that we haven't talked about is so often when we get to elections, whether it's presidential, whether it's midterms, or even local, you see, you know, we get the, well, you know, people are going to vote down party lines, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to see, and you don't normally have circumstances where you're going to get either side go and switch votes unless it's always, and that's why we always talk so often about the independents. Got to get the independents. This is the first time that I can remember ever a circumstance where the left has acted in such a way that there are people on the left that are so put off by it that they are willing to look at a GOP candidate. They are willing to go and see whether or not there's a better option. And you couple that with the fact that the economy is doing well. You know, Trump's, when you've got the left out there acting like all the ways that they've been complaining about Trump has been acting, it kind of diminishes the ability to go and push to sort of get behind the never Trumper crowd when it's like, well, you're acting like he is. So I think there's a lot of people right now that are more open to voting for a different party than they have been in the past.
You know, that's a good point, John. You know, historically, in the midterm elections, as you know, the party that's not in the White House does better.
Right.
The one exception recently being in 2002 when the Democrats turned Senator Wellstone's memorial service into a political rally, and it was off-putting to a lot of independent voters, and it pushed them into the R column, and it actually gave the Republicans more seats after the midterms. And I've heard people say that the Democrats' behavior with the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings is like Wellstone funeral 2018, that this has galvanized, that independents were very put off by the behavior, and as a result are likely going, if they're, you know, they're going to come out and vote vote for the Republican, because they're so up, because they just a lot, and it's women too saying, what if it was my husband, my son, my brother, my grandson being accused of this, and they're just wanting to railroad this guy without any corroborating evidence. And I think that's the Democrats' willingness to abandon due process for political gain, I think, is scary to a lot of voters.
Not just independents.
No.
I've heard it from liberals.
Yeah.
Liberals that we work with, liberals that I know. I think a fair number, and I'm not going to say a significant number, but a fair number of liberals and Democrats were rather disgusted by some of the displays over the last couple of weeks.
Well, and you don't have, and we'll continue this conversation coming up, 651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You can also use #250 on your smartphone and say TCNT or Twin Cities News Talk. But there is nobody on the left who is pushing back on any of the left's behavior. You're not hearing it from Tina Smith. You're not hearing it from, certainly Keith Ellison. You're not hearing it from Amy Klobuchar. Like, it would behoove them to it would behoove them to go, hey, look, this is a crucial election, but we're not backing the people calling for individuals to, you know, the GOP to be tossed in wood chippers the calls of violence.
It's not even that extreme. Simply the tactic of shunning Republicans or harassing them in the public square or pushing them out of restaurants. It was the Hawaii senator was asked on Meet the Press or one of the Sunday morning shows yesterday if she approved of that type of behavior, and she danced around the answer, would not come out and say, no, I do not approve of that behavior. She danced around it, and the reason is because they are afraid of their base right now.
Yeah.
651-989-5855. More with Lawyer Extraordinaire right after this.
Justice.
It is Twin Cities News Talk.
Correct.
It is Justice and Drew.
Also correct.
That is Sam in there doing a fantastic job.
I can vouch for that.
That's me.
So far, everything checks out.
We're going to get to phone calls coming up here in a moment.
We're on the same page.
All right. Lawyer Extraordinaire is sitting right over here.
Rob Beer.
Here is the question for the both of you, and it's relevant to our conversation coming up here in just a second. Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule?
Yes.
I did.
I haven't.
Okay. Looks really good.
Yes.
It does.
Okay. One thing is very noticeable in the trailer, however, and that is one Clint Eastwood is getting very old.
Like, really old.
Yeah, right? But
like
still,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg old.
Well, this is what I'm driving at. you watch the trailer, right? And it's like, and one of the opening shot is actually a close up on his face, and I think it's intentional because he's playing a drug trafficker, and they want to highlight the fact that he's a really old guy. He's 88 years old.
Wow.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 85 years old. And I only bring that up because if you do a comparison of the two of them, one being an actor director, one being, you know, a justice on the Supreme Court, there is a big difference in how both of those individuals are currently functioning in their old age.
Yep. I think we tweeted it out last week. There's a number of very recent videos of Ruth Bader Ginsburg making public appearances where, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, you know, insensitive or anything, but she does not look or act like she has all of her faculties about her.
No, she does not look. I mean, you hear it. I watch a few clips, and I mean, she seems to be sound mind, but she does have misfires. I mean, I think there was the one last week where she was talking about the 14th Amendment, forgot the words of the 14th Amendment. They had to supply a pocket copy of it. And another one I was from last year, she's talking about, you know, female senators, and she mentioned Lindsey Graham.
That could have just been a joke.
Who knows? But this is one of these, you know, she has said thinks she has five more years in her, i.e. I'm staying past, you know, the first, you know, the 2020 election. And she's made comments, of course, about President Trump. She's not a big fan. So I don't, you know, she's, then you would typically not, retire during your, when your party's out of power in the White House.
I want to pick your brain a little bit on that sort of hypothetical of, you know, what if Ruth Bader Ginsburg steps down? What if that seat becomes open before 2020? But let's get to a couple of calls first. 651-989-5855. Chuck in Blaine. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. Say, I wanted to get a little comment on elections here in Minnesota. So one of the things I've noticed, I grew up, my grandpa was an iron worker, Democrat, blue collar, but it seemed to be that people back then actually fought. So I'm going to tie this together real quick. The Republicans with this Kavanaugh thing, although frustrating that we didn't see them band together, I was actually pretty proud to see they actually independently think versus cattle thinking. It was basically the Democrats were a cattle drive. So now you come in home to Klobuchar.
Right.
And I think one of the things that's really frustrating, which I believe all voters should be paid, you know, you should pay attention to, no matter if you're Republican or Democrat, do you have groupthink? Or do we actually have people that can think on their own and will say, you know, maybe this just isn't right? I think I would have a lot more respect for, that's on the opposite aisle for me, I would have a lot more respect for them, as I did Wellstone, believe it or not, because at least him, he really said what he thought. Not going back there, but I just hope voters today take this Klobuchar, take the Dems today and just know, you know what, you vote for one, you're voting just for a group of cattle, groupthink.
Well, I was really, I think we all were really impressed by what Susan Collins did. I was genuinely surprised at the level of research that she did on Brett Kavanaugh to formulate her opinion and really laid it out in a way that was desperately needed. That being said, it didn't matter to the left.
No.
They didn't care.
No.
They didn't care. The moment and she's been taking all the heat, and Joe Manchin, who is a Democrat, has been getting a free pass in the wake of all of this whole thing.
Well, and Joe Manchin had, and as I heard, was given permission from Schumer to vote for him because, of course, if he didn't, he was going to lose his reelection bid in West Virginia. That's not exactly a profile in courage. What Senator Collins did on Friday, that speech, I mean, I couldn't, you know, walk away from it. I was watching it was just amazing. Very well reasoned. It was one of the best speeches I've seen given on the floor of the U.S. Senate in the time I've been following the Senate. It was very, very good. And to be honest, I've been reading some commentary over the weekend, and as much as all of us are, you know, ready to, you know, scream bloody murder at Senator Flake, he handled the Democrats, you know, their defeat by, you know, Senator Coons jumped on to the whole 1 week FBI investigation. Yep. And it ended up being the noose that hung them. That was their one issue, was this. The FBI didn't investigate. Well, the FBI came back and said nothing. And remember the reports earlier where they were coming out of that room. Democrats were coming out of that room where the report was, just ashen faced.
Do you make anything of, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but do you make anything of the letter from Grassley, where he is demanding, or requesting, I guess, you know, all the correspondence between Ford's lawyers and Senator Feinstein and any other Senate Democrats on the Judiciary Committee? Do you think there's some fire to that smoke that it might uncover some untoward behavior between Democrats on the Judiciary Committee and Ford's legal team?
You know, that's a really good question, Drew. I have the same question. Like everybody has said, there's no question Dr. Ford suffered some horrific sexual assault incident at some point in her life. Did the Democrats somehow, did they found her lawyers? Did they coach it out of her? What was their involvement in getting her, in outing her and getting her to come forward and testify? I think that it bears further investigation to find out if a sitting senator or senators are willing to, and their staffers are willing to go so far as to coach an individual to come forward to make accusations against a Supreme Court nominee. That's extremely problematic. It would be precedential. I've never heard of it being done before.
I don't. The only reason that I care about trying to uncover a little bit of transparency and truth in what happened with Ford and with Feinstein and what they did is just so we have it if we're going to go through this process again. And we'll get into this, kind of goes into what we're going to be talking about, because I think it's going to be, I don't think I know, it'll be incredibly important to know exactly how far the left pushed it with Ford and how involved they were in prepping that whole thing. Because if and when Trump gets another Supreme Court pick, we all better be prepared for what the left is going to do to keep whoever that individual is from being seated.
Gus in White Bear Lake, good morning.
Hi there. I have a question for your lawyer extraordinaire. You know, this accusing and guilt thing has been going on in colleges to young men for quite a while under the Title IX. Do you think some of this is going to help with that? I know it was a Obama policy, but that they were pushing the colleges to basically convict guys just on accusations.
That's a really good question. You know, I just saw an article over the weekend actually about that this revised Title IX is going to ruin college sports with some of these, these accusations that a lot of times end up, you know, being found to have no merit behind them. So we've had the Duke lacrosse team in the past and some of the others. Yeah. I hope that some of this, you know, and obviously we got midterm elections coming up, so who knows? You know, we have to see what happens, who's in control afterwards. But I hope that this prompts the powers that be to revisit those changes to Title IX, so that this doesn't happen to, you know, young men that are, you know, being, you know, this is just, you know, these allegations can be made up and just assumed to be correct and accurate.
Well, it's certainly, in my opinion, it's going to change the conversation in the court of public opinion, because you've seen a lot of moms.
Yep.
Who have come out and talked about their sons or their husbands. And so I think now when and if these accusations come up, apart from the legal angle of it, in the court of public opinion, we are sort of in a different arena now, where we have something that we can look towards of an individual being torn down based off of, you know, unsubstantiated allegations.
Let's put on our speculative hats while we got a few minutes left. If another Supreme Court seat does become open between now and 2020, well, specifically, you know, in 2020, right? If it is in the year of the election, the precedent with Merrick Garland, and even going back, You know, this is a precedent that has been in place in the Senate for some time now. This is, was not unique to Merrick Garland in any stretch, but the precedent is that, you know what, we'll wait till after the election. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna confirm anybody until after the election, because the American people should have a say in what direction the Supreme Court goes. Do you think, based on comments from McConnell in this past week, if that seat comes open in 2020, will they hold true to that precedent, or will they move forward and appoint another justice?
I think it depends, and you and I are having this conversation offline yesterday. McConnell over the weekend, I think it was on CNN, or he was on one of the Sunday morning talk shows, and made the comment that he was very clear to say that they brought up Merrick Garland. He said, not since 1880 had a Senate of one party confirm the nominee of a president of the other party during a presidential election year. Now, those he parsed those words,
yeah.
And what he's saying seemed to indicate
there.
That if Justice Ginsburg or someone else retires or passes away, whatever, if there's a seat that opens up before, you know, while President Trump is still in office and they control the Senate, I would not be surprised if he goes forward with it and uses that as the rationale. Lindsey Graham, who's poised to take over the Judiciary Committee chairmanship in the next session, if the Republicans hold the Senate, has said they would apply the Merrick Garland rule. So there's a little bit of a difference amongst Republicans there. It's just over the last week saying different things. I think a lot of it depends as to where things sit in 2020. If it looks like President Trump is on his way out, I think they'll take their chance to get a 6-3 majority, conservative majority, and walk away. If it's looking like he might get reelected, they may not want to hand the Democrats an issue of confirming a justice in a presidential election year under the Merrick Garland circumstances and let it roll to the next term. I think there's a lot of things that would have to fall into place before we could decide I think it's all speculation at this point what they might do.
Well, yeah, and I was trying to game it out in my head and wearing my tinfoil hat at the same time. If the Democrats have control of the Senate, I can actually see a circumstance where Ginsburg decides that she's going to retire in an attempt to try to use that as a motivation for the left to come out and vote in the presidential election, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you follow what I'm saying? They're like, yep, they go with the Merrick Garland rule. They don't seat anybody. They say they're going to wait until the election is done. That's only if they have control of the Senate. I can see where Ruth Bader Ginsburg would be comfortable going, I'm going to retire now, and now they've actually got something that they can use. You got to get out and vote. You got to get a new president in there, because that next president is going to be choosing whoever this crucial Supreme Court, who will be sitting in this crucial Supreme Court seat.
I could see them doing that, but it could backfire on them, because we know that there was a lot of conservatives that held their nose and voted for Donald Trump for president because of the open Supreme Court seat.
Yeah, I feel like, and I don't have, I don't have any data, but I feel like my gut tells me that, if you make a Supreme Court seat an electoral issue, that is going to favor Republicans.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
It is going to favor the right.
It's on the nature, anytime that there are cultural issues up, the Republicans do better. And I think an open Supreme Court seat in the future direction of the court almost is akin to a culture issue, and I think it does play in Republicans' hands.
This is a much deeper question, but would the Supreme Court, would it be beneficial? I know it's easy to go with the, yeah, of course it would be great if it was all conservative, but looking sort of pragmatically, would you want, if that seat were to become available, would you want a staunch, stalwart conservative in there? Or would you want somebody who was a little bit more moderate?
Well, and I don't say, conservative, moderate, liberal. I want justices that don't stray from the text of the Constitution.
So conservative.
Well, that's the type of judge the conservative would appoint. Yes. Yeah, I this has been the conservative, the that wing of the court. I mean, this has been going for 50 years when President Nixon appointed Warren Burger, who graduated from my alma mater, as the Chief Justice. 1969 that was. Took until 2018 to get a 5-4 majority of that, you know, of that school of thought. That's a long time. So yeah, you get a chance to, if you believe in that, that philosophy, you get a chance to switch a seat that way, you're going to do it.
I do think Trump's getting another Supreme Court seat
before 2020.
Before 2020.
Yeah.
My gut says you're right, John. I've seen, like I said, I've seen the videos of Justice Ginsburg, and I, you know, I wish her well. I don't, nobody wants to see, you know, someone, you know, have ill health or it just, you watch her, and I just don't know if, you know, the other thing is there is no mechanism in the Constitution or in any statute that would allow someone, a Supreme Court justice, to be removed for incapacity. And we've seen stories over the years of justices that were basically, you know, kind of teetering around and not doing anything, and kind of mental faculties
it's
were gone.
It's going to be a resignation or a death, essentially.
Yeah.
If you don't have one of those, barring like impeachment for, you know, bad behavior, and I doubt Ginsburg is going to fall into that category, there's really no mechanism in place, like you said.
And as much as Justice Ginsburg doesn't like President Trump, and as much as she may want to hold out until there's a Democrat president, you know, depending on her personal circumstances, she may just decide I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeffrey O'Brien, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always enjoy having you in studio.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the beer.
Thanks for the beer.
Next hour, right around 8:35, we'll be talking with our adopted senator, Ron Johnson. We do have a bit of local news. The Minneapolis City Council has been having some troubles keeping their meetings in check.
And voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, coming off yesterday's big road win against the defending Super Bowl champions, joins us in studio next. Just